There are three words that I read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that give me both hope and courage as they describe the lives of the disciples of Jesus and tell of our trust and of our faith. Those three words are found in verse 17 when it says, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. What do you think of whenever you read those three words? Well, I'm well aware of the fact that there are some people that are rather puzzled. And as they want to take the words in a rather literal form, they say, "Well, if I pray without ceasing, I really don't have time for anything else, do I?" And yes, I think, as most of us do, in order that we may meditate and that we may concentrate upon our requests to God, ordinarily, not always, why we close our eyes when we pray. And I believe that we can pray any time and under any circumstance. So far as I can determine, the Bible really does not limit the posture of our body, but it does tell us of the posture of our heart, that is, the attitude of man. So in any circumstance, whatever we may be doing during the day, why, this indeed can be an occasion, and I believe it should be an occasion for our prayers, to always be in that attitude where we think, whether it is a problem great or small, whether it is a cause for rejoicing great or small, that we are in our minds, in our hearts, and in our directions toward God, going to simply be able to say, "Help me," or to be able to say, "Thank you." Pray without ceasing. Here are three little words that actually composes one of the greatest sermons that I think we could ever think about, because there are other things that these three words tell us of. I'll give you a for instance. Pray without ceasing actually tells us about the greatness of God. Now, I'm aware of the fact that when we want to impress others with the greatness of God, that more often than not, we're going to talk about the wonders of creation. If an unbelieving friend or a person that is wavering in their faith toward God says, "Well, how do we know that there is God?" Our reply oftentimes is to say, "Well, the greatness of God surrounds us. Think about the greatness of God, the power of God, the wonder of God as we look at all of the things of creation." And, of course, that is exactly right. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork." So we are right whenever we call on the wonders of the physical world in order to declare the great power of God. But do you know that these three words, pray without ceasing, also tell us about the greatness of God? I don't know about you, but I certainly know about me. How many conversations can you listen to at the same time? Do you ever become confused because maybe there are two or three people that want to talk to you at the same time, and if they all start talking at exactly the same time, do you become confused? Well, I know you do, just as I do. Now, the greatness of God. Why would we say that when it says, always be in prayer, that shows the greatness of God. Well, let me approach this from another standpoint. How many millions of prayers have been offered to God today? How many people have there been that have prayed to God? You say, well, I have no idea. But you know people all over the world. It does not matter where we go, we find that there are those messages that are going up to heaven. Well, what does God do with them? He takes care of every one of them. He takes care of every one of them. He knows the hearts. He knows the minds of people. He knows whether they're good prayers or whether they're bad prayers. But without a shadow of a doubt, we are told to pray without ceasing because of this very fact that God is able to sort them all out. He hears each one, and then that tells us something else that has to do with not just the greatness of God, not just the power of God, but about His loving care. His loving care. And so Peter says in 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. And as we make these hundreds, millions of requests to God for His people, we are assured that God is going to work out every single thing for our good. Romans chapter 8. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We call on God and we have all kinds of problems and puzzles that we simply do not know the answer to. And I'll mention some of that in just a moment. But you know, God takes care of every one of those requests, and He just keeps everything going right. And thus it is that I cannot think of a greater way to demonstrate this greatness of God, this loving kindness of our Heavenly Father, than is to be found in these three words, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. But you know, the very opposite is true whenever we think of the lessons that are to be learned. And that is that if we're to pray without ceasing, then that tells of man's weakness. It tells of man's weakness. Man is frail. We don't like to think that is so, but it is so. So many things that we are ignorant of. We do not know the solution. Young people, if you don't believe that, ask your parents if they know very much about raising you. We had 7 children. Every one of them were problems. Every one of them were. But you know, they were not all the same problem. If they had have been the same problem, maybe somewhere along the line I would have caught on and found out how to solve those problems that these children had brought. They're 7 different problems. And you know, we don't know what to do about it. You say, my mom and dad, they don't understand me. And you know that's just right. They don't. They don't know what to do with you. And so they do the best that they can. But don't you know when God looks down on us as his children, that's just the way that he's looking at. What are we? We're problem children. Do you know the answer to all of the problems that you're facing? Well, if you do, you're a marvel. But we don't know. Not only is it so that we do not know the answers to all of life's problems, but there are some things that we can't do. Can I name some of those things we can't do? You can't heal yourself. Did you know that? Oh, the doctor can give you all kinds of medicine, and he can give you all kinds of advice, some good and some bad. And if you go to three or four different doctors, chances are they will all give you three or four pieces of advice. But the truth of the matter is that the power that you possess within yourself, really, it is limited. You can't heal yourself. Not only can you not heal yourself, you cannot extend your life. Now, people would like to think differently than that, and they say, why, if you exercise diligently and if you will take this food and you will eliminate that other food, well, you may begin to think as you read those advertisements and as you read that diet sheet, that's going to make me live forever. But do you know what? Healthy people die too. They sure do. We do not have it within our capability to extend our life even one cubit. We simply cannot do it. We need God. We need God. God is the only one that is able to heal. He is the only one to extend life. I was reading the other day as I got back to the life of Hezekiah. And you can read of that in 1 Kings. The prophet Isaiah came to Hezekiah and he said, you're going to die. You're not going to live. And Hezekiah diligently prayed to God. And God told Isaiah, you turn around and go back and you tell Hezekiah, I'm going to give him 15 more years to live. And he did. And he did. God is the one that has the power of life. He can give life. He can take it away. That is what the book of Job says to us. Do you know, when it just comes down to this power of prayer, the ability to pray, I think if I could not offer an individual any other reason for being a Christian, pray without ceasing tells me that it is all worth it. So, the third thing that I need to ask myself is, well, if God tells me to pray without ceasing, what is it that I should pray for? What is it that I should pray for? James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive. Because he says you ask amiss in order that you may have this for your own pleasure, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Do you know that selfish prayer, God will not answer? God will not answer. Now, we'll notice in just a minute that it's altogether right to pray for ourselves and to pray for others. But we must be so very careful what we are praying for. Pray all the time, but pray for what? Let's stop and think for a minute. How much does God want us to pray about material things? How much does he want us to pray about material things? You remember in Matthew 6, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Now I'm going to put you to work. Stop and think for a minute. There he starts out. He says, in this manner pray, our Father who is in heaven. Now you go ahead and finish it for me for a minute. Just stop and think. What else is said? Our Father who art in heaven. How many physical things are in that prayer? One, isn't it? Give me a Cadillac, a red Ferrari. Give us this day, just for today, our daily bread. Not even any jam on it. No steak. Give us this day our daily bread. Are you with me? Are you with me? How about your prayers? How about my prayers? Oh, Father, help me to have a bonus this month. I need to go on vacation. Be sure that I have extra money in order to do that. None of that. None of that. Praying for our friends, praying for our enemies, praying that the will of our Heavenly Father will be done here on earth just like it is perfectly carried out in heaven. How do your prayers compare? We're taught to recognize the value of souls. And oh, it is so wonderful. I don't want to give you the impression at all that whenever our information sheet is put out on a Sunday. This one is sick. This one's got a broken leg. This one has to have an operation. And so we pray for their physical well-being. But here is Jesus now. And what is he saying? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Whenever we say to our brethren, I have a friend that is gravely ill, please pray for them. Yes, pray that if God is willing, that illness may be cured, that they may be able to have extension of life. But so what? If their souls are not saved. Let me encourage you as I encourage myself. Whenever I am praying about these physical things, be sure, pray for the souls of those individuals that you know that are ill or that have lost loved ones. Pray that the very sorrow, the very grief that they are going through will be that which would cause them to examine themselves and examine their spiritual relationship to God. Who are we to pray for? The wonderful prayers that are found in the New Testament scriptures. Paul begs the brethren about this matter of prayer. Pray for one another. Pray for me. Please pray for me, Paul says. Ephesians chapter 6 is just a grand example of this. He says, beginning with verse 18 of Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Praying for one another. Praying for one another. Praying for those who are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, what problems, what obstacles our brethren are facing in other countries of the world. Could you imagine yourself being plucked from this nation, from your house, and being transported over to a country in Eastern Europe, and you find that you are the only Christian in a city of 3 million people? What do you need? Well, you need financial help. I wish our brethren here at home could realize that. Because everything that's done, every bit of advertising, every place that you're going to rent to meet in, it's going to come out of your pocket. But they need prayer. They need your prayers. You're alone. What you do, who you meet, who you teach, that's going to depend on whether the cause of Christ ever gets started in that city, in that country. Pray for those who preach the gospel. Because they're all fallible men. And they're all scared. And they all need the wisdom of God. How about praying for yourself? Oh, you better. You better. This wonderful book of Hebrews that we've been studying, in the fourth chapter, says this. At its very close. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's worth more than all the money of the world that you could ever earn or accumulate or save. Come boldly to the throne of grace, in order that you may find help in time of need. And we oftentimes neglect that. I don't know why it is that people would rather worry than pray. Pray without ceasing. That tells us prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. God does hear, and He does answer. Over and over and over again, we have that assurance. Look over at 1 John, the 5th chapter, at the beautiful assurance that John gives us there. 1 John, chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. How many prayers have you had answered? Over and over again. And I have to tell you this, even if God did not answer the way you thought He ought to, He still answers His children. You study the Bible and find out what you ought to be praying for. Make sure that every prayer that you offer is according to His will, that this is going to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And He's going to take care of the rest. Let's believe in and practice prayer. Let's be a praying congregation along with a loving congregation. Let's place our trust in God. God hears His children. If you're not yet one of His children, become that tonight. Let's stand and sing.